Members, we're now going to move to the public comment portion. There are four people that are speaking in opposition to this. They will each have 1 minute and 15 seconds. And there's one individual who's speaking in support. He will have 5 minutes. So will Aisha Prather, please step up to the microphone. You might, if you're with an organization, mention that. There will be a time clock on this screen up here that you could watch your time, because I will stop you at 1:15.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me? All right, my name is Aisha Prather, and I am with the Oklahomans for Excellence in Science Education. But I'm here as a mother of two middle schoolers. And earlier this year, my sixth grader came home and told me her science teacher had taught about giants that day. I asked her to explain, and she told me that he'd shown the class pictures from the internet of giant skeletons. And when I asked her if she thought he was trying to elicit skepticism and to get the class to ask for evidence, she wasn't sure. She didn't believe there were giants based on these pictures that really looked faked, but she wasn't sure what her teacher believed. And so my husband and I contacted him and asked if this was an exercise in critical thinking. No, he replied. He found them intriguing and just wanted to share them with the class. So here are some other things that people might find intriguing and might choose to share with their classes. Bigfoot, a flat Earth, Atlantis, the Bermuda Triangle, that the pyramids were built by aliens. And I feel that this bill would take away my ability and that of the principal, superintendent, and school board to supervise what is taught in my children's classrooms. And it would remove, as Representative Ford has pointed out, our local control. I want my kids to be prepared to join the STEM workforce if that's what they choose.
Your time is up, Ms.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Prather, thank you. We will now hear from Deborah Hill. If you will come to the microphone, please, and you might say what organization you are. Once you start speaking, they'll start the time.
I'm Deborah Hill, and I'm a retired science teacher of 30 years, recently retired. And I also represent the Oklahoma Science Teachers Association as well as a board member. What is my responsibility as a teacher, a science teacher? My responsibility is to teach science literature to prepare students with a scientific education to make personal decisions, economic decisions, and participate in civic affairs. How do I do that? I do that by helping them develop an understanding of the science content. What is science? What can science do? What can science not do? How to develop testable questions. Science answers testable questions. And how does science contribute to society? Why is it important to them? How do I do this? I do this also by helping them understand the actual content knowledge that is primarily laid out in the standards. What are the methods and practices and ways of knowing in science? And what is the nature of science? Science is a discipline that has a particular way of answering questions. I also want to say that we see this bill as very unnecessary and concerned about the loss of control. We do not see it as protecting teachers.
That is your time. Thank you.
Make them vulnerable.
Dr. Beth Allen, you're now recognized for 1 minute and 15 seconds.
Hello, my name is Beth Allen, and I'm a professor of biology. I also run a regional science fair where over 300 students each year come to me. I run the state science Olympiad, and I train future teachers for you. I'm a former president of the Oklahoma Science Teachers Association, the National Science Education Leadership Association, and I sit on the board of the National Science Teachers Association, of which no group is in support of this bill. We believe that this bill will not prepare students to be competitive in a very competitive environment. Our STEM workforce must know accurate science that is verified. If teachers have the opportunity to communicate with their students the very things that our previous speaker talked about, it will be unable to be moderated by superintendents or principals or other teachers. It is a concern of local control. We are concerned that they will come to us at the science fair, in our science classrooms, and our workforce, unable to differentiate between science and non-science, and uneducated in the science they need to be successful. I urge you to vote no on this bill, regardless. We have lists of organizations that are unimportant to read at this time, but no, from the State School Board Association to every teacher group, we are not in approval.
Your time. Thank you, Dr. Allen. And for the final speakers, Teresa Grogenauer?
Yes. I'm Teresa Gogenauer, and I'm a leader of the Climate Parents, an organization committed to ensuring that students in Oklahoma and beyond receive a 21st century science education. Our organization submitted a petition signed by over 2,000 parents, teachers, students, and science supporters opposing this bill. We have over 1,000 members and are growing. This bill would allow political and ideological interference and the teaching of non-specific science opinions. In addition, Oklahoma science classroom teachers. As a parent, I want my children to receive a 21st century education that prepares them to succeed in college and in their careers. We want our children to be innovators and problem solvers, and evidence-based science education is essential as a prerequisite. I don't want my children to be taught by a teacher who doesn't believe in evidence-based science. In the same way, I don't want them to be treated by a doctor who doesn't believe in evidence-based science. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That concludes the opposition speak. In support of this measure is Dr. Don Ewerst.
If I may, point of personal privilege, Dr. Ewerst is with the Oklahoma Medical Research Foundation. He's got a PhD in microbiology, an MBA, and a comparative.
Representative, thank you. Well, the others didn't really get a chance to put their pedigree out there.
I need to correct that. I'm not with you. I was.
You can state your own credentials, and you have 5 minutes.
Okay. Yes, I'm Dr. Ewerst. I have a master's in bacteriology from Clemson University.
Would you please pull the mic up close to your mouth, sir?
PhD from University of Georgia in immunology. Did postdoctoral work in evolutionary immunology at Birmingham, Alabama, and 23 years at the Wistar Institute in the University of Pennsylvania campus, where I did research for NIH, Department of Agriculture, National Science Foundation. You may say, what am I doing in Oklahoma? It's called grandchildren. But I've also been doing research for the last 10 years in hearing loss for the Department of Defense. I've got over 70 publications and peer-reviewed publications. I'd like to offer my perspective as a practicing scientist for almost 40 years. I'm keenly aware of how science has been used to promote ideological and political agendas. Often there is disagreement among scientists over meaning or significance of findings. However, the media will generally present only one side and often a biased interpretation of the data. Having open discussions about issues is an essential part of the scientific enterprise. Most of these disagreements among scientists deal with narrow issues specific to their field, but some have implications of broader aspects of our society, such as global warming, origin of life, the ability of natural selection to explain the diversity of living organisms, and when does human life begin, to name a few. How do we guide students to make informed decisions about these critical issues that are usually presented in the media by persons with particular agendas? I believe they need an environment where there is where true critical thinking can take place, where the evidence on both sides of issues can be discussed. They need an intellectually safe place. That's why I'm interested in this bill. I want students to be able to critically evaluate evidence on both sides of issues, to follow the evidence where it leads. The classroom should be a place where the skills of critical thinking are learned. The reality is that creating such an environment takes effort. First, textbooks inevitably present a writer's interpretation of the data and only a limited amount of information on each topic. This is understandable due to the limitations of course time. However, where controversial topics are being addressed, I feel the teacher or student and students should have the freedom to provide additional scientific findings or interpretations of data to add a balance to the discussion. The teacher and student should have the right to discuss and analyze all the scientific evidence about issues like climate change or evolution, including dissenting scientific views. This will help the student to understand how scientists make decisions, the value of the scientific method and its limitations. I have reviewed the textbooks in this state, and I know what they're like. I know the one with Miller and Levine provides a very, very slanted view on the origins of life. National Geographic issue is not as bad, but it's limited. They don't deal with critical issues or controversial issues. The second limitation to creating a safe intellectual space is the teacher. Due to the politically charged and ideological polarization that we exist in this country, the teacher must question if they will be supported by the school system if they open the classroom to fact-based discussions on controversial issues. For example, if they bring up an increased number of peer-reviewed papers challenging the core tenets of neo-Darwinism, such I've brought here, but I'm not going to, I may run out of time, or whether they even bring up the fact that Richard Lindzen, a professor at MIT, questioned some of the claims about global warming. The classroom teacher must know that the system has his or her back. Bill 393 does the following to grow up a safe intellectual space in the classroom. It encourages critical thinking about scientific theories that are covered in the course. Note, this doesn't say take time away from the course. The teacher has to teach the textbook in the course, and it restricts to existing theories. This legislation does not authorize religion or one-sided teaching. Critical analysis of scientific strengths and weaknesses of theories implies that the analysis must be objective, fact-based, and incorporates the scientific method of analysis. This legislation does not prevent school districts from exercising legitimate oversight. If teachers don't teach objectively, if they go into topics outside the curriculum, or if they veer into religion, they aren't protected by this bill. The legislation is similar to those passed in two other states that have not faced legal challenges, Louisiana in 2008, Tennessee in 2012. So any claims that the law would be unconstitutional are not supported by the facts.
That is your time.
Perfect.